Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Another day, motivating factor for Kevin Byard. He was left off the ESPN All Under 25 team. I don't know how an All-Pro player gets left off a team like that, but he did.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that too. I mean, that guy led the league in takeaways last year with 10, obviously tied for the league lead with 8 interceptions. He goes to the Pro Bowl, you know, makes All-Pro. That is something that won't slip by him, and he'll use his motivation. I know he's kind of tried to distance himself from some of that individual stuff this offseason. He said he wants to be more of a team guy, wants to be more of a leader, and he's definitely going to do that. But a guy who kind of felt like he was an underdog coming into the league out of MTSU, that will definitely add more fuel to his fire.
Jimmy, why do you think he's maybe underrated nationally or overlooked nationally? What do you think it is?
Well, I mean, I think sometimes you have to, you know, do it a couple of years in a row before, you know, people take you seriously. And he had a tremendous year last year. I mean, I just read off his credentials, and I think he certainly has paved the way for some bright days ahead. But I think people now want to say, hey, can he do it again? And while he's become a household name here and people familiar with him, you know, dating back to his days at Middle, he's going to probably have to do it again and do it, continue to do it in games where people are paying attention. You know, the good thing is this team has a couple of Monday night games. It's got a Thursday night game. It's got a game in London. So he's going to get some exposure on a football team that should be a contender. And when you're playing and people are seeing you do it more regularly, I think that's going to help your street cred moving forward.
Jim, the average, just according to the MMQB, I saw this yesterday in an article, the average running back in the league right now makes 25% of an average quarterback salary, 70% of an average wide receiver salary, 85% of an average tight end salary. What do you think about the devaluation of the running back position as a whole, especially if you apply it to something like DeMarco Murray just deciding to go ahead and call it a career at 30?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how that's changed, because I remember very well going through the Chris Johnson contract with him and his agent, Joel Siegel. Mike Reinfeld was the GM at the time, and they were fighting for some big, big money, as I got a fire engine going by right now. But they were fighting for some big money then, because Adrian Peterson had just signed a deal, and that's back when running backs had such great value. And now, you know, to see what those contracts look like, it's shocking how quickly that has changed. And I think that one of the reasons DeMarco retired, I think he had his body was beat up last year. I think he knew that, but he wanted, I'm sure, a longer commitment from teams. And when he didn't get that early this offseason, he kind of put himself in a position, I think, where people were probably wanting these, you know, him like they do a lot of other backs on shorter deals. So it's a completely different game for backs now. Will it ever change? I mean, yeah, I think so. I mean, you're still seeing backs come in and make a big impact, but, you know, teams like the Titans are finding more than one guy to do it. And that's another reason why these contracts maybe aren't what they used to be, is because you're paying two instead of one, like the Petersons and like the Chris Johnsons.
Jim Wyatt with us at Jay Wyatt Sports on 3HL. Pro Football Focus, Jim, listed the Tennessee Titans as the fifth best offensive line unit last season. They say nothing has changed. Fifth best unit going into this season, and obviously it all starts on the outside. Jack Conklin, who was on that under 25 team, and obviously Taylor Lewan on the other side. How is Jack Conklin doing?
he's making progress. I mean, I talked to him on Sunday. He had a football camp for kids out of D1 Sports in Franklin, and he looks great. He's, you know, he played around 320 last year. He's around 310 now. He said he spent, you know, so much time in the weight room this off season that that if he's not stronger and better this year, there's something wrong. You know, he said that injury last year, and I don't think he's talked until Sunday. I don't think he had talked since he was taken off the field in Foxborough to media, and he said it was a humbling experience for him. I mean, he'd never been hurt before, and he said he caused him to commit to working harder in the weight room and doing this cold tub work and to watch and film. I think in the long run, it's going to, you know, make him an even better player. But there's no question that he's got questions around him and when's he going to be back. I mean, he's certainly a candidate to start camp on the physically and able to perform list. Mike Vrabel said that in June. And while I think this offensive line is worthy of some high praise, I think people ask me about where this team has as big a question marks going into camp. I mean, I think receivers one because they're young, but I think offensive line's got to be two because of the questions around Conklin, because of some questions around LaJuan and his contract. And but you got guys like Kevin Pamphill and Xavier Suafia who were brought in to compete with Quentin Spain, who are now all going to be shuffling around working in other spots to fill gaps if not everybody's ready. So it's a lot of moving parts on the offensive line heading into training camp.
You mentioned LaJuan and his contract as we kind of inch close to the time where everybody starts reporting. What's your take, or how do you think all of this is going to shake out time-wise?
Well, I'm curious myself. I mean, John Robinson in the statement said that this team had made a good faith effort to try to have some negotiations with Taylor, leading up to the time when he decided not to report for the mini camp. I don't know what Taylor's going to do. I mean, he obviously got married this offseason. I think he's matured. A team obviously needs him. I don't know what he's going to do to try to get more talks jump-started. But, John Robinson's made it clear that they value Taylor LaJuan. There's no question the team needs him here. No question he's one of the best left tackles in the league. If he's not here, somebody's going to be working at left tackle in camp. I mean, the show goes on, and hopefully he'll be here and things will get resolved the way everybody wants them to. But I think we'll find out when players report on July the 25th, which is a week from tomorrow.
Jim, one quick thing in addendum to that in terms of LaJuan. When you look at the Conklin situation and the uncertainty and how careful he is, and I read your article at Titans Online where sounds like he's got the right attitude. He's not going to push it too fast. He wants to make sure he's healthy and has a long career. But does that potentially benefit Taylor LaJuan in making the Titans feel like we've got to make sure that this is taken care of, especially with what's going on with Conklin? Does that give him any leverage at all in which to maybe get what he wants easier than he might have otherwise?
Well, I mean, I think in the short term, yeah. I mean, they make some want to have him out there sooner, but I think everybody realizes, and even Conklin said himself, I mean, ACLs have changed a lot over the years. I mean, it used to be you had an ACL and you had some concerns about whether a guy could come back or whether he could be effective. I mean, Conklin said himself, and I don't know where he got this number, but he said 65 guys had ACLs last year. They're pretty common, and everybody comes back from them. If there's, you know, he had his injury in January. He's had 6 months to recover. I don't think there's any question he's going to come back. It's just a matter of when. And so I think everybody realizes Conklin is going to be available for the 2018 season. It's just a matter of when. The good news is that, you know, people scratch their heads. Some people, when the Doriel Green Beckham Dennis Kelly trade was made a couple of years ago, was Kelly's in house. He can play. Kept acquisitions this offseason, who's capable of playing tackle as well. So they've got some options to buy themselves some time before Conklin's back. And you hope, and those options will still be there when he's back, that could play left tackle as well. So again, the ideal scenario is that that Taylor's back and that something gets worked out and you keep on moving forward with the same five that were there last season. But it's just not that simple. But to answer your question, Jonathan, I think people are certainly aware of the Conklin situation, and it would be great to have Taylor there because you're not spreading yourself as thin depth-wise. But I think everybody knows Conklin's coming back at some point, so it's not like it's desperation mode necessarily.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
Okay, you guys have a great day.